Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Afternoon Australia and afternoon Carrie Bickmore.
Hello.
Hello, Tommy Little.
Buzz, haven't we just learnt something cute about each other? Oh my gosh.
What have we learned?
Oh, we're in this little gang that you guys aren't in.
Oh.
Me and Buzz have just discovered that we are on the same antibiotics at the moment.
Yes.
Moxicillin.
Moxie boys.
Moxie man. Ew. Like when they say women work together, you get in sync.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are in sync.
We are totally in sync, bro.
Are you battening down the hatches? There's wild storms coming across the East Coast.
Literally?
Apparently. I was watching the news this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by weather. It's one of my favourite parts of the news to watch.
You should be a meteorologist.
Yes, I should.
You'd be great at doing
weather. I love it. The hectopascals.
What's that? Is that a type of cloud?
I think so. I don't know.
Cumulonimbus.
Is it a wind?
Yeah. What's yours, Buzzy?
Cumulonimbus.
Well, because we're Moxie bros. I like that one too, bro.
Why'd you become a Kiwi?
I don't know, bro. Could be the antibiotics.
Anyway.
Is it happening to you too, bro?
Storms in a long time. That's all I'm saying.
Worst storms in a long time.
Batten down the hatches. But next, we've got to talk about something, because while you and Buzz have discovered you're in some secret club together, we've also discovered there's something you and I aren't doing that
everybody's
the rest of Australia is doing.
I know.
And we're missing out.
I know. Caitlin, our producer, you're doing it, yeah?
Yes.
Buzz, you're doing it as well?
Oh, so much. I'm ashamed.
And how are we so late to the party?
9:30 last night, I was sitting there alone in bed going, why am I not doing this?
Wait, are we still...
On the same thing.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry. No, yeah. I thought the other thing. I thought, oh, hang on, I'm doing that. Yeah, right. Anyway, you find out what the thing is next.
It's Carrie and the Moxie Boys.
Yeah, bro. It's
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, you know I'm a chocolate addict, yeah?
Chocoholic, as they used to say back in the day.
Yeah, love nothing other than sitting in bed at night and ploughing through some chocolate.
Yeah.
One of my chocolates of choice is Nutella, jar of Nutella. I don't have a stopping ability. It just keeps going.
And how are you going at it? Are you going at it just with a spoon?
With a teaspoon?
Oh, so you think like you're portion controlling.
Yeah, just have a couple of tubs full.
Yeah.
Anyway, last night, got desperate, got to the very end, literally had scraped the last everything out of this jar.
Yep.
And I happened to post on my Instagram, send help with the empty jar, just as a joke, right?
Very funny. I like it.
Is it that funny?
It's a bit cute.
Not really anything.
Bit, you know,
whatever.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
As someone said, so relatable. Yeah.
Little did they know you scooped all that Nutella out and put it in the bin.
Just for an Instagram
and then
post.
Just went, yeah, I promise I've eaten it.
Anyway, my gorgeous followers, right, started Instagramming ideas, comments. One said, put some ice cream in there, mix it around, you can make it go further. It's like chocolate ice cream. Another said, put some milk in there, shake it up, chocolate milk. I was like, oh, my God.
That's brilliant.
Genius.
Yeah, right?
Then someone said, why don't you Uber eat some? Now, two thoughts popped into my head.
Yes.
One, I didn't know you could Uber Eats Nutella.
Neither did I.
Can you? The second thought that popped into my head was, I have never Uber eated anything.
How shameful is this? Because I haven't either. And when my friends...
Which shocks me, because I thought maybe it was because I was like a mum and I'm always making boring kid food. I don't get enough takeaway. I didn't know what the psychology was, but you eat out all the time.
Here we are. We're just a couple of busy career mums wondering why technology has passed us by. But I was on Uber quite early, and I encourage all my friends. Like when my friends say they're not on Uber, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, sure, catch cabs, support them all. Great. Yeah. But what do you mean you're not on it?
Which
but now they say the same thing to me, right?
Exact thing. What do you mean you haven't Uber-eated before? Now, why? Yeah. Do you get takeaway often? Do you get delivered to your house?
If I can, I get it delivered to my house. But a lot of people have stopped delivering because of Uber Eats. The place where I walk down and pick it up, they even said to me on the phone the other night, they're like, why don't you just get Uber Eats? Because when I go down there to pick it up, there's all these Uber Eats bags like lined up. And I was just like, I don't know.
Where's the cost? Does it cost more to get it delivered to you? Do you Uber Eat, Buzz?
Oh, all the time.
How much? What's the additional cost to get it?
$5 delivery.
Flat fee?
Yep.
That's
for anywhere?
So, yeah, and you could get one item or you could get 10 items. It's $5 delivery.
Okay.
Our producer's like saying that's not the case. Or are you saying you're just shocked?
I'm shocked by it.
Because you haven't Uber Eat either.
I haven't, no.
Question me, Caitlin.
You're a virgin Uber Eater too.
Yeah, and I'm 25. I should be cooler than this.
What did you think we were talking about before the song when I was saying you're on it?
No, I didn't say yes.
She thought she was talking about the thing I was talking about at 9:30 at night.
Yeah, the thing we were trying to get her to stop during the show. It's not professional.
So hold on, how often would you Uber Eat, Buzz?
Maybe once or twice a week.
And is it when you just can't get out of the house to go get it? Or just because you, like, do you, is it far away from your house? Is it?
I've Uber Eats from a pizza shop across the road from my house.
No.
It was cold and wet and I didn't want to go.
I'm not above that, Buzz. There was a Japanese joint around the corner from my old place that literally, it was the same thing. It would take me 2 minutes and they only charged $8 delivery.
That's a huge amount of money. $8 delivery.
Yeah, I guess it is now. But I looked out and same thing. It was raining and I thought, $8? No, I'm not getting wet.
But don't they have their little things they drive around in? What are they, just crossing the road or they just walk it?
Because they're Japanese.
No, I thought Uber Eats have Uber Eats motorcycles or something.
They got everything. Yeah, they deliver them in cars, on bikes, on scooters.
Oh, this is a whole world I need to be a part of.
Let's take Jamie now. Jamie, we're talking Uber Eats. Is this you or is this for someone else, Jamie?
It's my daughter. She's in Year 7, Matika, at St. Francis. She Ubers McDonald's and stuff like that, all the friends.
Hang on, gets it to school.
Yeah, gets it to school.
That is an absolute game changer.
I
used to get in trouble at school all the time for sneaking out and going to 7-Eleven and getting Slurpees because it's a very distinct look when you walk back with a Slurpee cup and you say, I tried to get it from somewhere.
But the number of times I've forgotten to make Ollie's lunch, just download the app on his... Oh, he doesn't have a phone. That can't work. Anyway.
Hey, Jamie, does the...
should not do that.
As Carrie has a breakdown, does the school crack it about the Uber Eats or are they fine with it?
No, I think they're just fine with it, I suppose.
Wow, how good.
The canteen's losing business, but.
They're what?
The canteen's losing business.
Oh, of course.
Oh, the canteen.
It's because the canteen can't have any fun stuff anymore. Back in my days, to get potato cake and a roll with cheese and sauce,
now
you couldn't get any of that.
Sushi and kale.
So,
I think we need to talk more about this. Two things need to happen now. Mm. 1-13-10-60, you need to call us with your Uber Eats story.
You know what? I'd love the most. I use the word pathetic and I kind of mean it. But
when you really didn't need to Uber Eat.
I want either the smallest item, how close it was to your house. I want that story about I'm so ashamed and I can't believe I got Uber Eats for that.
The other thing that needs to happen right now is we need to Uber Eat something.
Yeah, great.
What are we going to Uber Eat? What do you want? What do you want for lunch? Do you want there's
around?
Macca's? There's a master roll, Vietnam roll.
Let's sort this out in our 131060. Give us a call. Your most pathetic Uber Eats stories, and we'll sort this out and we'll order it.
What, you don't think it's good radio? Me just reading out all the things that are nearby.
I mean, you can do it, but we'll turn your mic off while we do it.
Uber Eats 131060. We'll take your calls next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We're entering into the new age.
Yes.
We're going to start Uber Eating because we've never Uber Eated before. We've been missing out.
Welcome back to the wireless. We're old folk and we've never done the Uber Eats before.
Oh, we've got Hayley on the line. Hayley, we're talking about what's the most ridiculous thing you've Uber Eated.
I used pathetic.
Pathetic, sure. Yeah. If you want to be that cutting, let's go with how pathetic are you, Hayley?
Well, this morning I Uber Eated a coffee for $4.50 and then paid for $5 delivery.
I mean, that's brilliant.
Okay, I've got so many questions. I didn't know you could Uber Eat coffee. Doesn't it bounce around in the back of their little motorcycles?
No, it come in the Uber Eats bag in the cup tray as well and it was delivered in a vehicle.
Was it still hot?
Yeah, it was probably the best coffee I've had.
Coffee in bed.
Amazing.
Is there a service with Uber Eats where you can say to the driver, don't knock on my door. I'm the second back bedroom. I don't want to get out of bed. Can you do that, Hayley?
Well, I technically was at work when I had done it, so I just walked out the front of work.
So hold on.
And picked it up.
That's great.
So it has to be from a restaurant, is that right? Like if I wanted to Uber Eat Nutella last night, you can't Uber Eat from a Coles or Woolies or something, can you?
Let's go to Hayley.
Do you know Hayley if you can Uber Eat from a Coles or from a Woolies?
I'm not 100% sure. I've only just started Uber Eating about 3 weeks ago.
And Hayley, just for me, when you said you walked out the front to pick up the coffee, how much further would you have had to walk to actually get the coffee yourself?
Probably about a 5-minute walk.
Oh, that's fair.
That's cut off some time.
Good on you, Hayley.
Got some Facebook scrolling done during that time.
I love it. Paula, what about you? Have you got a pathetic Uber Eats story for us?
Yeah, I certainly have.
I love it.
I work in a pizza restaurant. And
are you in the toilet right now, Paula?
No, I'm in my bedroom.
Oh, it sounds very, echoey.
Very echoey.
It
is very echoey.
I mean, I wasn't judging. I'm happy for you to talk to us from wherever you are.
And a customer ordered Uber Eats and we had it delivered and he wasn't there and he turned up at the shop. He'd had a few drinks. And he turned up at the shop, forgotten he'd actually ordered it on Uber Eats before he was got someone to come and pick it up.
Oh. So he's crossed paths with the Uber driver halfway to his house and come to pick up a pizza that he'd already ordered.
Oh, what about Renee? Renee, what's your pathetic Uber Eats story?
So I just had a big night out and we hadn't eaten all day and I got home and I was extremely hungry. So I decided that I would order pretty much everything I could possibly think of, nearly a 3-course meal just for myself. It came to about $70. And then I fell asleep and then I woke up and I had all these missed calls saying, you know, your food is delivered, and I didn't end up eating it.
And so what do they do, Renners? Do they just leave it on the doorstep?
No, they actually take it back with them.
Oh, no, worst. Oh.
Do you know what that is? That's the modern day version of leaving your toastie on the like the toastie machine when you get home from a big night out. You go, oh, I'm going to have a baked bean toastie, and you put it on the machine, fall asleep, and it cooks all night and burns the house down. That's what that is.
So, Renners, in the scheme of things, your house is still standing. You're pretty lucky.
Now, Renee, just tell, since we got you here and you sound delightful.
Sorry, what was that?
I was just going to say, since you're here, we're trying to decide what to Uber eat. Should we go burger? Should we go sushi, wraps? What are we Uber eating right now? What do you think?
I would probably recommend maybe a burger.
Well, I mean,
sushi is pretty good though when it does, when it comes. Yeah. So that's pretty yummy too.
A bit of fresh sushi.
Renee, I'm starting to. You did realise Renee's story was about how she ordered every single thing. Renee would get the sushi, the burger, the drinks.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Aren't you tired of paying big bucks to see a movie, only to find out afterwards it was kind of terrible?
If we paid to see this, we put ourselves through the movie gauntlet so you don't have to.
I'm Darren Hayes.
I'm Anthony Armentano.
And this is a movie podcast where we pay to see movies the week that they open and then just tell you our honest opinion about them.
We sometimes go off topic.
Can dogs smile?
See.
We might sometimes be a little not safe for work.
He means we swear.
Well, sometimes a movie is so f***ing terrible.
Or f***ing awesome.
That you have to.
Isn't this a great advertisement to check out We Paid to See This?
You can listen to the show at podcast1.com.au
or download the Podcast One app.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
1-800-LOGIC with Alessia Cara with Carrie and Tommy right across the country.
That song has always made me feel emotional when I've heard it. I only recently discovered what it was about, and now it makes me feel even more emotional.
You're going to have to help me a little bit. I know it is about a suicide and a help hotline.
So the number of the song is actually the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number in America.
Right.
And the song is by an American rapper called Logic, right? And the whole song, like the first verse, is a guy who wants to call the suicide hotline because he feels like he's got nothing to live for. The second verse is the phone operator telling he's worth something. And the third verse is him talking about how he felt now that he's spoken to the hotline and he feels like there's a reason to live. And it's and her voice in it is incredible. But when I learnt the backstory to Logic, the reason he wrote it was because he was going to some of his fans' houses to meet them and get amongst them. And they were all saying to him, your music saved me, mate. His music saves me. And he's thinking, how, what? And he realized the power of his music, just normal music, not about suicide. So then he went, I'm specifically going to write a song to try and show some of these people who are having a tough time in their life that music can help save them. And since then, there's been a spike to the prevention, the suicide prevention line, because of his song.
Good. People
Amazing.
Looking after their mental health.
Yes.
Great.
And
Great.
Music is
yes.
very powerful.
From a song we love. Sorry, Tommy, you want to...
No, I was about to do the thing that you're about to do, I think.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just looking down on my sheet and it says Bickmore's
Bits. It is time.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now. Now, there is a man in this world that I think if he doesn't make you laugh, there's something wrong with you.
No, I'm right here. My ears are burning.
Will Farrell
is
the name
of
this man. And I found something that delighted me hugely. Right, he's teamed up with Common Sense Media, right, to do a PSA, a public service announcement about people using phones at their dinner table.
Is it pronounced PISA?
PISA?
Yeah,
no,
I think it is.
It's called PSA.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Happy to be wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. And anyway, this whole campaign is just trying to encourage people to look up from their phones and talk to their families, right? And what it's like at the dinner table for kids when mum and dad are always on their phones. Here's one of the bits from his ad.
I'm not hungry.
What's wrong, sweetheart?
I miss Daddy.
I know. We all miss him.
I miss him so much more.
Hey, everyone shut up. This filter makes me look like a cat. It's so funny, it's making me cry.
And then there's another one where he talks about how everyone's got to put their phones in the basket in the table and the kids are going, Dad, put your phone in the basket. Dad, put your phone in the basket. And then he starts using his phone with his hand in the basket, saying there's no rules about how I can't use the phone while it's in the basket. Then there's another one where he's asked his family about how their day was.
Oh, it's so nice to all be sitting down together. Who can tell me something they did today?
I drew a horsey.
Good for you, son.
Anyone have a charger? I'm at like 2%.
Anyway, it just made me reflect on the fact that it must be so horrible for our kids when they want to share life with us and we've got our heads buried in our phones.
I mean, the flip side of that is, oh, I would have loved a phone when I was young and sitting around the dinner table with my family.
So you didn't have to listen to Mum and Dad bang on about their days.
Yeah, we had the TV then. We sat
we weren't
TV.
Allowed the TV on at, during dinner time. Were you allowed the dinner, the table, the table? Were you allowed the dinner and the table on during the phone time?
We'd always attempt to do around the dinner table.
Conversation.
And then it would always result for the rest of the week. Just
then you just end up watching Neighbours.
Seinfeld, yeah.
Oh, Seinfeld, yeah. Now, I have a question for anyone out there. If you're addicted to bread, pasta or potato.
Yeah, the best things.
Yes, you're not alone. And don't feel like this thing, this addiction is something that like is your fault. It's not your fault. Because scientists have found that perhaps there is a seventh taste, right? You know how this sweet, sour, salty, they're real taste,
right? I see
dead
people, yep.
Carbohydrate.
Okay.
They've decided is the seventh taste. So you don't get
carbs.
If
so
you're addicted
carbs.
To sweet things, right? It's not your fault. That's just the way your taste buds are.
You've just got a hungry tongue.
Apparently,
in the sweet bit.
You can have an addiction, a hungry tongue,
so I've got a carby
for carbohydrates,
tongue.
And that's why you love bread, pasta, and potatoes.
Hot chips. I'm mad for hot chips.
That's the reason you
crave
it.
Damn my carby tongue.
And you had a little bit to bring us?
I did, because I don't know if this is good news or bad news, to be honest. A new study was in the paper today that shows that half of us born now will live to over 100.
Oh, wow. I knew we were living longer, but 100?
Yeah, it's a long time, right? And it's so startling that they reckon that people are going to have to rethink their retirement and stuff, because you don't want to be then retiring at 60 and still have half your life left.
Oh.
What's happened? You've just been handed a phone.
Sorry.
No, you've actually
as
just...
As interesting as that is, that what you're telling me.
You brought us one story about being distracted from phones and how bad it is, and then you've just phased out in the middle of my...
I really did love your story, but what I'm more interested in is that my Japanese sushi is on its way.
See, this is why
Uber
I'm not
Eats,
sure
they
if
just
I...
texted me.
I'm not sure if I want to live to 100. I don't know if I can put up with this crap for that much longer, to be honest.
Well, we won't be doing the show for that long, so don't have to worry about that.
Oh, sorry, my carby tongue's tingling. It must be here.
We didn't order enough carbs.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We have a fascinating person that we're about to talk to.
Yeah.
We had her on the project. She's the author of a new book called Hello Gen Z, or Z, depending on what part of the world you're in. But here, Gen Z.
Oh, do they say it different in different parts of the world?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
I always just thought that was an argument
Z in
school. In
America, I think.
Ah, yep. So we go with Z. Let's go,
we go with Z.
Loudly and proudly.
Her name is Claire Madden, and she's spoken to 100 Gen Zs, and that's a Gen Z is born between 1995 and 2009. So I think it's like if you've got an 8-year-old to maybe a 14-year-old or 13-year-old.
Eight.
I have one of those. I have a Gen Z.
8 to pimply.
Basically. 8 to pimply,
yeah,
yes.
Great.
And she's worked out what makes them tick, how to talk to them, what they want out of life.
Yep.
And I thought we should get her on the show.
Yeah, great.
So let's welcome her to the program. Hello, Claire Madden.
Hello there. Great to be with you.
You too. Okay, let's cut to it. Of all the 100 stories and interviews you did, what was the thing that shocked you most about this generation?
Well, there's so much more going on behind the screens than I think we give them credit for. Like, they're constantly learning, creating and relating. There's a whole world that they're navigating, from curating and managing their personal brand through to keeping up with the latest in youth culture that's happening behind the screens for them.
Did you just say curating and managing their brand? Oh, my God. Is that
that's
what they're
exactly
doing?
Right.
I thought they were just like swiping up and down and in-app gaming.
Claire, I mean, every generation has wanted to be famous, I think. That's quite a common thing. Are they more self-obsessed than people of previous generations?
Well, many in this generation do want to be famous, and there are new ways to become famous, like Insta-famous or becoming a YouTuber. So some study up on what makes a video go viral and how do you get followers, and they do put a lot of effort into their, even if they're not, you know, going to be Insta-famous on a high level, just how they're going to get followers and likes. And a lot of their sense of identity is actually interwoven with their online sense of self, and they explain to me that they'll feel, you know, great if they get a lot of likes quickly. If they've posted the right photo at the right time, they might get a lot of likes. But if they don't, they can feel instantly flat as well. So they do put a lot of energy into trying to get that feedback.
It's funny because the other day Ollie said to me, I want to start a YouTube channel. I was like, a YouTube channel? What are you going to do on a YouTube channel? And he goes, oh, my friends have one. I'm like, well, you don't need one. And he said, I thought I could cook on it.
That's pretty rich from a woman who's almost a TV channel.
Yeah, I am a 36-year-old woman. He's 10. What does he need to be doing? And I said, what are you going to do? And he said, I thought I might do cooking on it.
He's a great little cook.
But I was like, why do you need to cook on the YouTube channel? Can't we just cook together? And he was like, nah, but no one will see it. And I was
but can't you just tell the news to your family?
Ouch. It's a
but
job.
But you can see they're also so creative. The way that they want to, you know, create a channel and do a cooking show at the age of 8, that's showing a whole lot of like entrepreneurial skills from a young age, I think, as well.
I did say to him, we need to get someone on board, like a brand, you know, to sponsor it. You know, there's some money to be made, hun.
Hey, Claire, why did you write this book? Did you just meet a 10-year-old and went, I don't get you?
I just wanted to understand what was really going on. And same for parents trying to understand how do we raise them in this, you know, this digital era in a way that's going to give them the skills and that they need for their future. Mm.
They'll probably all be our bosses soon, so.
Oh, well, they're also going to be the ones that save the world.
Yeah.
There's a few problems that we've left them with, like global warming and stuff, and they're
going
to
fix
it. Good luck.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks so much.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Boy, oh boy, are we down to the pointy end of the Bachelorette season.
Astronomer got out last night. Apollo, whatever his name is.
Astronomer.
That's a good name too.
Apollo. But don't worry, his single's about to drop, so he's about to go from strength to strength.
Well done, mate. Good timing.
Who would have thought that the young hunk, the 24-year-old man who looks like he's cut from stone, gone.
I know.
Rissold. See you later.
And instead you got stage 5 clinger.
Oh, the beetroot that cries.
The beetroot that cries. And
also
Stu.
Known as the self-watering fire truck.
Stu, who's come out today saying the talk that he was with somebody while Soph was overseas is not true.
Jeez, I wonder who she's going to pick.
I know.
The millionaire pub tycoon or the tomato that pushes water out of its own face. Anyway, this is the guy I want to talk to you about. It seems like a lovely guy.
Jared.
By all accounts, yes.
Yes.
Although she did reveal the other night that he replaced the plant. You know how there's been the whole
pot
plant?
Oh, yeah, the pee and the pot plant.
You were away on Monday, but yeah, that he replaced the plant with one that grew more. Right.
Yeah, but didn't he do that to make her feel better?
Yeah, but she was like, you tricked me. Anyway.
Oh, it's so confusing.
Getting caught up because last night they had a chat and this is what Jared said to her, Sophie, about him saying last week, anyway, it's confusing, you'll get it. Listen.
I wanted to find out how after our last time when I saw you at the vineyard and I told you that I'd fallen in love with you, how you felt when I actually said that to you.
So he's put all the vines of the tomato plant on the line, right?
He's fallen in love
he said
with
last week, I love you.
The words
that's what
you want to hear.
That's what you want to hear, isn't it? And
absolutely.
It's the most vulnerable you are as a human. You go, here's my everything. Please
I'm laying
just
it on
accept
the table.
Me.
Yep.
Yeah, this is me.
Please
as
love me back.
What's the one thing? That's exactly right. Yes. That's the one thing you want to hear.
Yep.
You just want to hear, you know what? I love you back. Is that what Sophie said?
I really struggle feeling like people care about me, probably.
Yeah.
It's really nice to hear that because I really believe.
And that's the bit when she goes, I really believe. And I thought, this
but
is
she
it.
She loves him.
She's going to go, I really believe I love you too. Is that what she said, Buzz?
You care about me properly, like I do. Thanks for caring about me, though, honestly.
Oh she's basically just said, I believe you. You are hella into me.
That's like when you say to someone, I love you, and they say,
thanks.
No, that's not what you want to hear.
Oh.
I mean, look. If I'm thinking about it from a production point of view, perhaps she's not allowed to say I love you back because then it would give away the winner. So perhaps they say to her, even if you want to say it, you can't.
Let's not think about it from that point of view.
Okay.
And let's just think that's not what you want to hear
when
you tell someone you love them.
Have I destroyed your idea here?
No,
I just want to put that
so.
Out because I think I remember with like Schnez and Sam, they knew they loved each other from the beginning. But he couldn't. They couldn't say you're the one I love you because that would
So you reckon she might be secretly seeing red?
Maybe.
The colour of love.
Maybe.
And his noggin. And
if not, there's a chance that she doesn't love him back and all she really thinks is, thanks.
Thanks. I've had this quite a lot in my time because
you fall quickly and hard.
Yes. I'm like a kind of pawn in a game of chess that I move first, but it's of little consequence to the other team.
This is a whole nother conversation about how quickly you fall.
Right.
Yeah, that's not for now.
So,
but you do. I can imagine you'd often tell a girl they love you on the first date and they'd be like,
no.
Thanks.
I've had a lot of thankses.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of thankses and a lot of, oh, that's nice for you.
Or you too.
U2.
Yeah,
I love you. U2. I'd kill for a U2. No, that'd be enough for
but
me.
But that's not I love you. That's just, U2.
Yeah. Oh, you too. You as well. Okay. Oh, you and the many other who have said it to me. Okay. Here's what I want to know. 131060, what did they say back to you when you said, oh, I love you? It's a safe space,
this is
guys.
It's depressing, though.
Is it?
Oh,
nah, it's fun. It's time not, heals all wounds. And we're here to open them up again. 131060, let's open some old wounds. What did they say to you when you said, I love you?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Pointy end of The Bachelorette, down to two people. Jared, last week he said, I love you, to Sophie. And then last night he doubled down on it and said, how do you feel back? We thought she was going to say, I love you too.
But she just said, I like that you care about me.
You love me.
But. No.
So we're asking on 131060, when you said I love you, what did they say back? Amelia, talk to us.
Hi. So it wasn't quite as devastating as thanks, but it was I already know.
Oh, wow. And it was the first time. So you went, I love you, and they went, I already know.
That's romantic.
That's one step above, ooh, I get it.
It was a bit of a shock going, I was suddenly rethinking everything I'd ever said or done, going, God, have I been way too clingy here?
How about in that instance you fall out of love? Like that response can make you go, ugh.
I don't. Oh, actually, you called it wrong, champion.
I know.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Lukey. Luke in New South Wales, talk to us.
How you going, mate?
Oh, good legend. What happened? So did you say, I love you?
Yeah, I said, oh, I love you, and she looked at me and literally said, I'm in love with your brother.
Oh.
And I just said, I just looked at her and laughed and pretty much just, walked away.
Wow. Oh. Did you walk back into the house and say, bro, I got good news for you and bad news for me?
Oh.
Wow.
No, when you put it in.
Wow. Did they hook up?
No, I'm not too sure. Actually, I'm pretty sure they hooked up, but my brother sort of stayed away from her because, I was sort of in love with her.
Putting that in perspective, you'd be happy with a thanks, wouldn't you? Rather than I'm in love with your brother. Just thanks would be
just
great.
Thanks for being heaven. I love how I asked Luke from what it was. He's like, I'm not too sure. I'm like, yeah, actually, in hindsight, if that had happened to me, I'm not sticking around to find out. Well, how's it going with with your current and my ex-girlfriend?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Our Uber's just arrived. Delicious. Bit of sushi. First Uber Eats we've ever had.
Sushi.
We should point out we're not getting paid for this. This is not some sponsorship. This is just us.
Although that was a smart idea. We should have sold it.
We should have.
What's
although,
happening?
Where are the chopsticks? Do you get... Are you meant to get chopsticks?
I'm going to have to finger my sushi guy.
Hold on. How am I meant to eat it? Does it come with cutlery?
Usually it should. So, that's the restaurant, though. The restaurant should be packing that, not Uber Eats.
So we're not... Who are we quilling a
where did you get it from? Actually, don't say that.
Okay. Well, this experience has ended. No,
I promise it gets better as someone who uses Uber Eats a lot.
I know, but it's got all the mayo everywhere.
You guys enjoy your food. Hamish and Andy, they are in next. We'll catch you tomorrow for Friday. Bye.
The Carrie and Tommy catch-up is ready to podcast now on Radio App or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.